We are starting a new study, and this is called Wretched Man. And I have to open it up online. Give me a second. But as we're doing it, the purpose of this, and it's so important, is we have to recognize what we are in God. Okay? And in not recognizing it is why we'll use verse like we talked about in the question and answer on no weapon formed against me. We almost say that with a sense of pride instead of a sense of humbleness if we were using it correctly. Do you understand that? But a lot of verses that we use it to our feeling as if entitled people. And a lot of times, even in our humility, we tend to talk that at times, not realizing humility should be all the time. We should have a sense of, I can't believe he even offered me to be saved. Does that make sense? And not just saying it, we should live that way. Because if you don't do that, you won't get rid of the thing that's causing the most problems to you, and that's you. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? And that's what's killing us, because we give ourselves so much credit and we keep building up our own self-confidence, we miss out on the fact of what we're supposed to be or what we need to be. So where we get this, and I'm still opening up now. Here it is. All right. So human nature, as you can see at the top of your page, it says human nature seems to think it's missing out. Okay? And we see this in Romans 7. Romans 7, 7 through 8 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. So this is like we just went over and we talked about the law as we did the first part of grace in the sermon. It let me know how messed up I am. The law let me know. It kind of put up a thing to say, okay, here's where you're at, Keith. Remember I said it's like an x-ray. If I said, no, I'm healthy, and then I see an x-ray, and they say, you got this, you got that, and you're like, oh. And that's what it did for us. And the law showed us how bad we were. Okay? And hoping should happen is that we recognize how bad we were and how there was no hope for us. And we need to have that understanding, each and every one of us, all the time. Because then we will humbly go to Christ. Like I said, we go to Christ right now as if it's just a part of my life that I already am entitled to. And especially in this day and age, we are so self-centered, we still get frustrated and angry at God when he doesn't do it our way. Why? Because we deserve it. Does everybody understand that? Here's where that comes from, and watch what Paul does. We must realize what we are when we are not living in Christ. Romans 7, 14 through 24 says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. So now, why is that so important? Because that's a part of what when we were talking about the law. The reason why we couldn't do the law, and we'll see this a little later, is because we, ignoring God when Adam and Eve first did it, and then we live that way, living in the flesh, trying to be spiritual. Y'all get this? And that's what he showed here. He says, I know the law is spiritual. See, the law is good, but we couldn't do it because we're not spiritual. Does everybody get that? And he says, so it is a slave to sin. He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree the law is good. So he's saying, the law let me know what I'm doing is wrong, even though I want to do right. But why do I keep doing wrong? Does that make sense? Okay. And he's saying, so the law is good because it keeps telling me when I'm wrong. And he says in verse 17, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but is sin living in me. Okay. So he's showing. And remember when Jesus said nothing good comes out of a man. Okay. And he's letting us know within us, without God, horrible. The sin living us, we are horrible and we're dangerous. It says, like he says in verse 18, I know that nothing, everybody say nothing. What does nothing mean? Include. All things, everything, exactly. He says, I know nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. And the key, when you see sinful nature, some people think it's a certain part that we have. No, no. Sinful nature is translated human nature. Sinful nature is you without God. Okay, please understand that. Don't mistake it as sinful nature is just part of you because the other part is good. No, no, that's why you're saying, no, no, nothing about you is good. Now, once I get that, I stop dealing with people as if they hurt good. I stop dealing with people as if I am good. I stop dealing with things as if I'm the good part or there's only part of me that's bad. No, I go to him knowing I am all bad. Y'all get this? Okay? And we're going to see why. It says, for I have the desire to do what is good. So, and this desire is not the epithumi or the lust. This is the, I want to do what God tells me to. He says, do good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. So he's basically saying, I know the stuff I'm supposed to do, and I really want to do that, God. But every time I turn around, I keep doing what I'm not supposed to be doing. And that describes all of us. All the time. You get where I'm coming from. And he's letting us know. What we start doing, especially today, is we start making excuses. Well, see what happened was I was tired. Well, I had a lot of stuff going on. If they wouldn't have said that to me, I wouldn't have done it. You see where I'm coming from? Instead of what Paul is saying, no, I keep doing it. There's no excuse. He told me not to. I keep doing it. He told me not to. Do you see the problem? He says, now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's a sin living in me that does it. Now, he's not using this as a excuse. He's letting you know, since nothing good lives in me, then I'm going to do nothing good. Do y'all get this? He's saying, if I'm depending on me, I'm in trouble because I'm always going to do me, and it's going to destroy me. Okay? And he says, so I find the law at work when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. So you think to yourself, I'm going to be Christian. I'm going to do a good person. I'm going to do good this time. He says, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work with my members. So he's basically saying, so I'm saying I want to be a good person. All right. I really want to do good. However, my flesh is going, let's go do this. That person makes me mad. I'm feeling upset today. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. All these feelings, and this is why I'm so adamant about that Proverbs 23 misled, because you're going to have these thoughts. And if you didn't know any better, you go with your thoughts. Even, like I said, today some people even use when they get a real strong feeling, well, the Holy Spirit, it'll blame it on the Holy Spirit. And you know, I think what people have been there or you've heard people say it, it's a dangerous thing because it's such a strong feeling. We've gotten into bad relationships because of that strong feeling. That's what he's talking about here when he's saying there's another law, something waging war against my body. We allow our emotions to take over instead of what God says. And so what Paul's recognizing and what God inspired him to say is, I'm in danger, and that's why he screams out in verse 24, what a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? And very important, we all need to get to that point. Because Christians, there are people who become Christians as if it was like a merit badge. You know what I mean? I have some good and I have some bad. And I got this badge for doing some good. And in other words, we kind of take credit. So that's why you have Christians that don't change. Until we get to the point where you're saying, what a wretched man I am. In other words, there's nothing good in me. You'll never get rid of all of you. Does that make sense? Even the parts you think good. In fact, especially the parts you think good are the most dangerous things. Most Christians, and I can say I bet very little. I can count on one hand the Christians I met that realized and got rid of it all. Most I met think there's certain parts that are still good. Right? Satan will make us do it even when it comes to family and stuff like that. Well, I was taught this by my mom. I hear people say that. You know what I mean? Well, my mom or my father, and you'll have such a reverence for them, and that's great. But when they're not Christian, now you're in trouble. So you hear this Christian person reciting something that their non-Christian parent told them, and they're holding on to it. And Satan's like, that's all I need. That's all I need. So God protects us by going, if you love them more than me, you're not worthy of me because you're hurting you. Do y'all get it? Does everybody get this? Okay. So he's making us understand, I'll just go, I'm wiping out everything. God, I want every answer from you. That's the important part of it. Because I am dangerous. Make sense? Everybody get this? Okay. So think about it. Like as a little baby, and we're like this sometimes, they put everything in their mouths, don't they? Right? Until maybe they get shocked or something like, and you don't want that to happen to them. But unfortunately, when they're little, they see it, goes in their mouth. It sees it go, and that's the problem. It's not until you start getting older, you start asking questions. And as Christians, that's what we should start doing, asking questions. And because we know how we're evil, I don't care if it looks good, I don't care, whatever it is, before I do anything with it, I check with God. And that's how we're supposed to do it. God, is this okay? God, is that okay? Okay? Now, Christ saved us from us. That's the cry he put out. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? The answer is Christ will save me from me. He shows in Romans 7, continuing on 25 through Romans 8, verse 4. It says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Now, did you catch that? So if I'm in my mind, spiritual mind, then I'm following God. That's when I'm spiritual. Okay. But when I live in my sinful nature, how I feel, then I'm going to be sinner. Does that make sense? You got to make that choice. He said, I saved you. But think of his salvation as come into this boat and you're saved. And we're going, oh, good, I'm saved, while I stay in the water. And that's what most people do call themselves Christians. Oh, look, I'm saved. I'm going to keep swimming. Right? Not realizing, no, you're in danger when you're out there. You need to come in. And when he's saying, so in my spiritual mind means I'm doing exactly what the Bible says, not what I feel, not what I think, not because, look, it worked out. You know what I mean? It's all about what he says, and we're following what he says. It says in verse 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are what? In. Everybody say in. In Christ Jesus. This is another one that's used out of context. Some people think, because I said these words, I'm saved. Now, I'm never going to be condemned, so I can't go to hell. No, but he's absolutely right. If I'm in Christ. A lot of us are not in Christ. Do y'all get this? There is condemnation for everyone that's outside of Christ. Make sense? So this is supposed to comfort those who are Christians who are going through really hard times or whatever. And you know, this is working for my good. I know I'm not going to hell. So I might be going through a trial. That's why we count it pure joy when we go through trials. Why? Because we know it's not a condemning that's happening to me. It's a building or discipline. It's a refreshing. Okay, the person of the world, yeah, you may be dying because you're headed to hell. Do you understand that? So there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. It says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Did y'all catch that? But I got to be in the right law. Okay, he says, for what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. So who was it weakened by? Satan? Weakened by the world? Us. Did y'all catch that? What weakened us doing the law was us. So what destroyed us was us. All Satan did, even what he said to Eve, he was the enemy because he used her against her, used her against Adam, which means he used himself against him too. Do y'all get this? The outside sources that use against us are just me against me. If I don't desire it, you can't use it against me. Amen? Right? If you say, Keith, I'm going to take away all the pain you have in your body away from me if you don't give me all your money, I'll be like, oh, wow, okay, I guess you're going to have to take all the pain away. As stupid as that sounds, we have to understand he only goes after us what's based on us. But it's not until nothing means anything to me other than Christ. He can't touch me. I won't budge. Pain is meaningless. I'll count it pure joy. But that's when I understand the problem is me. Okay? It says that the law was powerless due to the sinful nature. It says God did by sending his own son in the likeness of man, of the sinful man, to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the sinful man. All right. So Christ did what we couldn't do. And in doing so, he got rid of that power that sin had on us in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. So in other words, he then, because he already went through it and did what he was supposed to, but he died. So in other words, he lived righteous the way we were supposed to. So we got to get in his place. But then he died because we didn't live righteous and he came in our place. Does that make sense? That's why he died. We get to live. Why did we get to live? Because he was righteous. Why did he die? Because we were not. You see how that works? So the requirements are met. Canceled each other out. We're good. That's how it's supposed to work. But you got to receive him. You have to live in him. Okay? Because he even makes it clear in here where he says, in 4, it says, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who's he talking about? who do not what? Live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. We never get to that part. All the stuff we read, and there's no condemnation. He's talking about certain people. And he ends it in there where he says, I'm talking about the people who do not live. Now remember, it's not live this way and you'll be righteous. It's those who live this way are righteous. Why? Because I'm righteous, not because I live that way. I live that way as evidence that I'm righteous. Does that make sense? So if you want to know if this is you, you'll see in how you live. Amen? In fact, that is our guard against other Christians. You just telling me a Christian don't make me go, okay, I put my guard down. We're going to hang out. We're going to be buddies. I got to watch. And I'm like, he says, you will know them by their fruit. And you still see Christians buddying up with other people call themselves Christians, and everything's going wrong, and I don't know why I'm doing this. And why? Because you didn't listen to God. You listened to your interpretation. So you got a person who's still living in the sinful nature who just titled themselves Christian. Y'all see this? I want to know a Christian. Watch how they live. Credible, isn't it? Now, when you think of it that way, some of us go, wait a minute. You know what I mean? Is that including me? And it could be. And this is where we have the opportunity to go, no, I'm going to now live for him. And living for him isn't me making the effort to live for him. It's just me having a relationship with him. And in my relationship with him, I live for him. Everybody got that? All right. Any questions? Everybody with me so far? All right. Praise God. Now, so he goes on, to be saved requires a choice and a responsibility. Okay, and we see in Romans 8:5-17, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind nature desires. Okay, so now what is he saying here? He's saying, once again, the evidence part. He was like, if you're watching those and they're living based on how they feel, their minds, once again, we're supposed to have a spiritual mind, is set on the flesh. Now, we just read those who live by the flesh are not Christian. Do y'all get this? All right. He says, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So you see somebody, an enemy does something to them. They may feel angry. They may feel hurt. Watch their reaction. That's a Christian. Or they didn't do anything different or even worse than what the world does. We have a problem. Do y'all catch that? You see this. Okay. And this is where this is our evidence. I can call myself whatever I want, but it's going to be displayed if I am. Amen? Okay? So it goes on. It's saying the mind of the sinful man is death. Okay? But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Now, I want to show you something. If you go down a little further, that's the reason why I put the star on what they have their minds on what the Spirit desires. That's why I have at the bottom where Satan has succeeded in disguising some sinful nature things as godly. Here's some examples. Partnering in dangerous relationships by looking to please self and not obeying God. How many times have people, Christians, gotten in relationship with people that are not Christians almost with, oh, no, it's going to work out. They're going to come to church. We're going to do this. Have you noticed that? Where people will do that and they'll convince you because why? Because they're pleased. I've never felt this way before. The person makes me so happy. We give all the excuses instead of following what God says. Do not be unequally yoked. Right? Another one. Making family and friends happy by neglecting God's godly rules. It's really happening in parenting today. Well, it's because they're tired. Oh, maybe they have ADHD. Maybe they have WAD. Maybe they have ABCD. We don't care what it is. We give them every excuse to be bad. Well, I didn't want to see him cry. Well, they only wanted this. I don't give them something they don't want. I don't want my child to have something they don't want. All this stuff we're saying, and God's going, where did I say that? Where did God say my children don't get what they don't want? It's just the opposite. He gives us what we need. Gaining success in your career by pushing God to the back and you up front. Now, here's the problem. In all three of these things, in many times you will see good benefits. Did y'all catch what I just said? You will see good. It will work out. To you, it's working out. Why? Only God's good. You're absolutely right. Only God's good. But to you, that's why I say you will see. By your definition, it's working out great. That's why you still hear Christians go, I know the Bible says this, but I did this, and it worked. And as a pastor and as a Christian, it makes me kind of, are you getting this? Many times I hear Christians, well, I did this, and it worked. Is that what the Bible said? Well, no, but it's working. No, it's not. If he didn't say it, it's not working. because you're walking by sight. Faith already told me the answer to it, not the what I see. Do y'all get this? What seems right to man? Thank you very much. Yes. All right. So in each case, so that's why it says the way that seems right. Very good. Thank you. And you understand that. So we put that stuff out there. And that's why I have other there. It says Satan makes it seem like mixing fleshly happiness with godliness is possible, while it's really not. We're in a realm today where that's exactly what's happening, where we think, wait, I can have the best of both worlds. And you have a lot of people that are deceived. I think we're at a time right now where the least amount of people are going to have, we have the most access to God, and the least amount of people are going to go to heaven during this time. That's why it's called terrible times. Do y'all get this? Because we fooled ourselves. I am Christian, and isn't that great? You see how we're doing this? Going back up to reading verse 6 again, it says, the mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So you see the benefits, okay? So when I'm living in my flesh, I'm dead. And I'm not talking about the regular death that we're all going through. Because remember, before Christ, we were all walking dead. We were all zombies, okay? And I say zombies to really give you the visual of, some people said, because remember Jesus said, I've come to what? Bring you life. And life more abundantly. Now, people who don't know that, once again, misuse scripture, just remember the more abundantly part. And say, he's going to give me more stuff. No. You don't even know what stuff he's talking about because you don't have the first part. I came to give you life. Why? Because we are already dead. The minute you're born, you're dead. You are in that decay, that process. As you get older, you're dying. Do you understand that? So he says, I'm giving you this. So that death is staying in that mindset of just going headed towards wherever the body was going. But the spiritual mind gives you two things. Life, because we get Christ. He said, I come and give you life. But look at this other thing he gives us. Peace. Why is that so necessary? When my mind's focused on the Spirit, the situation doesn't affect me anymore. How I feel doesn't affect me anymore. What I think doesn't affect me anymore. Did y'all catch that? Remember, flesh's peace is dependent on the flesh and your circumstances. Okay? Spiritual peace is fully dependent on Christ. Amen? So when my mind's focused on the Spirit, he can tell me to be content, and I get it. When it's not focused on the Spirit, how can I be content? We think content is a place to get. As long as I have this much money, as long as I don't have this, as long as my health is this, as long as these people are in my life, then I'm content. Have you heard people say that? See, that's a fleshly content, which is dependent on your line and your situation. Spiritual content is, I don't care what I am. If I have too much, I'm content. If I have less, I'm content. Did y'all catch that? Okay, so it gives us life and peace. It says in verse 7, the sinful man is hostile to God. Does anybody see the word in your Bible where it says could be or maybe? No, it says the sinful mind is. Even if you think you're a good person, you're hostile to God if you're not a Christian. Think about that for a minute. How many times have you met what we call a good person? And as Sister Lisa yelled out, there is no good people. Only God is good. Why do we need to know that? Because we're doing that today. We're meeting people and going, I can't see God sending that person to hell. First of all, God's not sending anybody anywhere. And what you see is the problem in the first place. Right? He didn't ask you to see. Isn't that what Peter did? Peter saw. And Peter started sinking. So it's not for me to see. And we'd stop judging in that way. You know what I mean? That's a dangerous judgment. So we see these people, and then we see that in our minds they're good, and we almost give them a pass. And we do that in many cases, instead of realizing where he said, no, they are hostile to God. It says why? It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Did y'all get that? Okay. Now, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you. He's saying if you're really a Christian and the Spirit of God lives in you, you're being led by the Spirit, not by your own feelings and emotions. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So if a person didn't accept Christ and he didn't receive the Holy Spirit, that means he's not a Christian. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. So we're still going through that decay, but this is just a shell now. Y'all get this? We don't put too much time on this because this is going away. We put time on the Spirit. Does that make sense? That's what he said. Your body now is dead. So it's still going through the decay. You know, some people think when you become a Christian, oh, now everything. No, it didn't happen yet. That's not happening until Jesus returns, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15. Do y'all get that? Okay. So the body's still decaying, but now you're living in the spirit. The soul is depending totally on the spirit. Okay. And it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus, yet your spirit is alive because... But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. In other words, we're talking about Christ. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit. That's why we say, confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's our hope, because our hope is he raised him from the dead. So that's what's going to happen to me. Do y'all get that? Our hope now is living for this resurrection of new life. We're living for that. We're not living for some of the other stuff that our flesh wants. Our flesh looks at the temporary, while spiritual looks at the eternal and the things that come. Okay? It says, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. I always told you I hate how they write this, but so I got to twist it around because they twist it. All right, I'll tell you what it says. When he says we have an obligation is a responsibility, right? It means it's something you are required to do. So what is it that I'm required to do? It says, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. Why did they write it like that? I don't know. Let me twist it around. What it should say is not to live according to sinful nature. Did y'all catch that? Which is showing it's a choice. He's saying we have a responsibility not to live according to the sinful nature, which lets you know it's a choice. Did y'all catch that? So it doesn't mean, hey, I become a Christian and it automatically goes away. Hey, I become a Christian and it'll never. No, no, no. Now it went from slavery where I couldn't do it to spirituality choice. I don't do it. Or do I? Every Christian has a responsibility not to. Does that make sense? All right. That's my response. He says not to live according to the sinful nature. For if you live... And I should have put in for if you in bold, if you live according to sinful nature, what did he say? You will die. Think about that for a minute. So if I say I'm a Christian, I do all this stuff, but I still live for a sinful nature, I'm still headed where? Exactly. Did y'all catch that? Everybody get that? Think about it for a minute. Because like I said, a lot of times we just think it's this moment, this thing that happened, nothing can ever happen to me. But he just said, so now go the right way. This living for the spirit is the narrow path. You choose the wide and broad. Do you understand that? You're still going into the path of destruction. God's not going to go, well, some of the Christians went that way, but they're okay. Do y'all get this? Please don't be deceived. And that's very important why we have to make sure we're not being deceived. All right? He says, but not to sinful nature. For if you live according to sinful nature, you will die. But if by the spirit... you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Right there, it just told what every Christian is supposed to do. Put to death the misdeeds of the body. Now, if I become a Christian and I still keep my ways, well, that's just the way I am. Well, I've always been that way. Well, you know, it comes from my dad. I always had that temper. Well, I always have this thing with me. God understands. He accepts me for me. Where does it say that? Where did you get that? You understand that? We like to give that because we're going with the emotion. The spirit is going, oh, this part is dangerous, got to go. This part is dangerous, got to go. Did y'all get that? You know what I mean? Christians will know, this part of me, non-existent. The flesh will go, that's just the way I am. Y'all see the problem? So if I'm still, that's just the way I am, I'm not spiritual. Right? When I'm spiritual, I'm going, that way that I was, can't be. Amen? You can't go, Keith has a bad temper. That has to be gone. All right? It can't control me. Y'all with me? Everybody with me? Okay. Total silence. I don't understand, but that's okay. It's usually total silence. Yes, question. All right.
I'm sorry, it goes back. It goes back to 11.
Okay.
Because I've heard it's been used for, when it says mortal bodies, for creation. You can't be cremated because you need your body. But this is saying something totally different.
Totally different. Mm-hmm. Yes. So cremation, please. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Can you, if you read it, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to you, through his spirit. Is that
exactly? Okay? That's the best way of putting it.
Okay.
Yes, it has nothing to do with these fleshly bodies. This is done away with. In a twinkling eye, this is imperfect, forgetting perfect. Do you understand? Now, by faith, if anybody doesn't want to be cremated, don't. However, I can't support that the Bible says it's wrong to be cremated. Do you understand? Because what you must understand is when you die, guess what happens? Your body goes. That's why it's called ashes to ashes. That's in the Bible. Okay, ashes. Okay, so you just sped up the process. Some go, oh no, you can't. Okay, then don't. Okay, I'm just not going to be one to support something that we made holy that God did not. So be careful of that. Yes. Did you have another one? Okay. But does that make sense? So I'm glad you brought that up. Yes. He's just saying, no, he's going to raise us from the dead. That's basically what he's saying. He raised Christ from the dead. He's going to raise us from the dead. Make sense? Amen. Any other questions? Okay. Excellent. All right. So now, so it says, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the Spirit that makes you slaves again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry Abba Father, which some ministers use in the right way, daddy. That's that term of endearment. Father is very important for us to understand his role. Daddy is to understand that he is my dad. Does that make sense? The father is that reverence and that fear that we're supposed to have and that respect, but the other one is, but my dad will protect me. You know how you see a kid, my grandbabies, when they were real young, first thing they would do is grab onto my leg. Do you understand that? And that was because they felt protected. They could be in a room crowded by people, and you see them clinging. And they're sitting there looking around as they're holding on. For some odd reason, I don't think they thought my leg was going to protect them. But do you understand that? But that's the way we should feel when we're like, this is my dad. Do y'all get this? And that's that whole protection thing where you feel comforted by your daddy. And that's why it says, we cry, Abba, Father, if that makes sense. Amen. Questions?
I know it tells us that we should not call any man father on earth.
Correct.
What about the priest, Father John? And
wrong.
You know, how?
That's wrong.
And I know it's wrong.
So we shouldn't.
Yeah. So we shouldn't be calling them father.
No. Nope.
So we would address them as
minister.
Minister, Mister.
Mister or minister. Because to be honest with you, not just father, and he made very clear about that, the term reverend. Y'all know where that came from? Yep. And that came from, once again, when the church split from the Catholics who were calling people father, which is wrong, dead wrong. And the reason why the Catholics accepted that, because they were like, we represent God, so you call us, and we know where did God ever say do that. And so it's one of those dead against. And the Jews call their teachers rabbi or teacher, and that's wrong. And they're not supposed to, because they have to understand who the main one is. You're not supposed to do that, okay? And so in the same sense, when we say reverend, we're saying you're the man of reverence, and we're to revere you. No, that's wrong too. Do y'all get it? So minister, elder, you understand, sir? You can add those things, those titles to them. Be careful, because like I said, we're not supposed to call them that, and the Bible puts it out there. But today we use it like it's nothing. They'll call these priests father, thinking, well, it's okay to call him father, just don't call other people father. Where is that at in the Bible? You understand that? So, yes, good point.
The other thing, this whole lesson, I think about 2 Timothy 3, where it tells us that God gives us everything for life and godliness.
Yes.
But we have to know
Second Peter.
But we have to know that in order to know that things like the Father and the
exactly.
sin and all that kind of stuff.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because if he gives it to us, then use it. Exactly, right? We don't use it. We start making up stuff, which we have been doing. There's a lot of, I always call it Christian made up things that we give to God. You know what I mean? Certain things that we, like I said, that we make sacred, and certain things that we don't. I was working on a small thing that we were going to go over, and that was part of it, what not to call people and certain things like that, and how not to call a person a fool and how not to call a person an idiot, how the Bible puts that out there, a raka, as they put it. And we do certain things today because to us it's, oh, that's no big deal. There's nothing to that. We take the things that he made sacred. So if he's given us everything, the problem is we're not using it. Amen. A lot of things you see people going through, it's because if you went in the Bible, you wouldn't have been in there if you followed the Bible. Does that make sense? And how they deal with the things that they're going through, you wouldn't go through it that way if you dealt with it based on the Bible and not based on you. A lot of times we struggle, and this is why depression exists in the church, is because we're dealing with it based on the sinful nature, not based on spirit. Amen. Okay. I'm usually depressed because I'm based on how I feel. It didn't make me feel good. I didn't like what it did to me. When it's based on God, I still feel that way, But I go, okay, God's doing this for my good. I go to God for my comfort. I go, y'all see the difference? But that's not me. I'm not depressed. May feel it, but I understand, man, that flesh, man, will mess me up if I'm not spiritual. Make sense? Everybody get that? Yeah. So absolutely. Thank you. It says in verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I want to make this clear, too, because a lot of people think when you get saved, the Holy Spirit replaces your spirit. A lot of people thought when you get saved, that's what happens. No, your spirit becomes alive, and now the Holy Spirit dwells in you and ministers to your spirit and empowers you. But you still have your spirit. Do y'all get that? Okay, man of spirit, which we allowed to die in sin, now became alive, and the spirit, God himself, who lives in us, now ministers to our spirits, and we live spiritually. Y'all get this? Okay, now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, that last part is very important. So there are certain things, as a Christian, you're going to have to go through, and that's sharing in those miseries. You're going to share in those sufferings, those things. That's why we go through those main three verses in Romans where it says we rejoice in our sufferings. In James where it says count it pure joy when we go through many trials. Or when in Hebrews 12 where it tells us to endure hardship as discipline. Right? If I don't know those, when I go through them, I'm like, what is God doing to me? I can't believe it. And I complain or I leave. And the churches are declining today. One, because we started running churches as businesses. And secondly, we start teaching God to your likeness instead of what God said. Does that make sense? And now people don't like this, and we're kind of skipping the Bible. So they're trying to find something to make them feel better and to claim God as that. That's why people are kind of claiming all these things to make them feel good and say, hey, this is God. And that's the danger. Okay? And this is why we have to be in the Spirit and live spiritually. Now, Galatians 5, 24 through 25 also shows this. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have. Did y'all catch this? Now, the reason why I'm stopping there is to let you know this is how you know if you truly accepted Christ. This is what a Christian did. All right? What did they do? Crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Did y'all catch that? Now, if I didn't, that means I just said a few words. However, my desires still run. I'm still functioning based on how I feel. I still go off of how things are. But I'm calling myself a Christian. He's saying, no, you'll see the Christian all of a sudden go, and you're like, you don't desire it anymore? Oh, no, I do. But I got to get away from that. You see them depending on God to get away from those things that they used to depend on. Does that make sense? Amen? Okay, so they get rid of it. It says why? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so what he means by that is, this is how they did it. They said, now that I'm spiritual, I need to act spiritual. Did y'all catch that? All right? Spirituality isn't something that happens to you. It's something that you have now full access to that you have to choose to be. You know, it's like the verse that says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child, but now that I am an adult, I put away childish things. One thing I love about that, he didn't go, once I became an adult, childish things go away. Did y'all notice that? He says, once I become an adult, I did what? I put away. Right? I put away. You know, you have some guys and some people who still do things as a child and say, I like to be young in heart. You know, that whole Peter Pan nonsense. And we think that's cool or whatever. And no, in reality, he's saying there's come a time where that's enough of that. You know what I mean? Certain things that you watch your kids do, and at a certain age, you let them do that. That's why when kids run in their little, let them play. When they get to a certain age, when you say stop. Certain age, they have to get serious. Do y'all get this? You understand? Because now they're no longer a child, and that's where we have to teach that. And that's what he's saying. So now that I'm spiritual, be spiritual. Stop being emotional. Stop being intellectual. Right? Stop being ignorant. Stop living culturally. You understand? I have to be spiritual. The Bible says. I see all this stuff going on, but the Bible says. That's being spiritual. Everybody get that? Okay? And that's why I have under there, most of what the Spirit desires can be found in the Bible. Amen? All right. And the reason why I say most, because that's where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit communes with us. And there's that other stuff that you only learn when you do, like it says in Romans 12. It says, then you will know the will of God. Remember, we talked about the will of God, the universal will, which the whole Bible gives us. And then there's a specific will. There's things specific for you. But that's only in your relationship. You only know that with that when a person does what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. Amen. It says, then you will be able to approve God's will. But only then. If I'm still conforming to the patterns of this world and not being renewed by and not being transformed by the renewing of my mind, I will have no idea. Should I do this? Should I be in that? Should I? To the human eye, it'll make no difference. Spiritually, oh, I know I shouldn't be doing that. Do y'all get that? Y'all catch that? You immediately would go, oh, I shouldn't be with that person. Oh, I shouldn't be going to that. It'll be instant. But when you don't, you'll, oh, man, because you'll go off a feeling. I feel. Amen. Everybody with me? All right. We'll stop there. Any questions? All right. Let's pray.